And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show, Oklahoma Sooner edition. We got an Oklahoma great on with us today. I might do a little radio with this guy occasionally, but mostly it's because he was really good at snapping footballs for the Oklahoma Sooners that we're talking to him. Gabe Eichard, what's going on?
Andy, it is always a pleasure working with you on SiriusXM, and I cannot express how excited I am to make my first appearance on Ass. I mean, this is something I've been listening for a long time. This is something I've dreamt of. So I cannot believe I'm here.
We all dream about someday talking out of our asses, and now you get to do it. So Gabe is one of those people who I will get texts from, you know, 3 or 4 days after an episode dropped, where he is arguing with me in real time about something I'm saying, very much like Ralph Russo, our friend from the Associated Press. And I'll be like, wait, what did I say? When did I say that? Hold on. I don't know what I'm talking about here.
It is one of my favorite pastimes, because you know how it can be with podcasts. Sometimes life happens. It takes you a few days to get to the podcast that you want to listen to. And yours is one that I listen to all the time, consistently. Sometimes, especially now with the new baby, it may take me a few days to get to the new episode, but I'm always sharing my opinion with you. You know that. And we've had some good debates over the years about it's mostly the random rankings of things where we get into it.
Well, Gabe and I bonded over Tarahumara's in Norman. That was a restaurant that was introduced to me by George Schroeder, who used to work at USA Today and lived in Norman for a long time. And so he took me there. And it's strange because, and you describe this better than anybody, because Tarahumara's is one of those places that, like, I can't tell you why it's one of the most amazing Mexican restaurants on earth. It just is. Like, when you go, you just feel happy.
The best way to describe it is, yes, the food is amazing. Yes, the service is amazing at Tarahumara's.
Yes, the queso is free.
The queso is free, which I know we'll get to this, but I can't wait for our new friends in the SEC to experience Oklahoma Tex-Mex restaurants. It's going to blow their mind. But the best way to describe Tarahumara's, Andy, is that you just feel loved when you eat there. You feel appreciated.
Yes, it's
the
true.
Food is great. The service is great. Like, everyone's smiling. It's such a pleasant all-around experience that it just puts you in a good mood being there. That's why I like it so much. Yes, the food is fantastic, but it's just like the feeling you have not only the entire time you're in the restaurant, but as you're being wheelbarrowed out, you feel better about yourself for some reason. It makes no sense because you just ate, you know, roughly 4,000 calories of Mexican food, but it's just a feeling, man.
It is truly amazing. And, you know, that is the Lincoln Riley of Norman restaurants, where it just keeps getting better every single time. And that's why I wanted to have you on, because this is a really exciting time for Oklahoma, not just because of the conference change that's coming up, but this team that Lincoln Riley brings back, this might be his best team, or at least his most well-rounded team. He's had two teams that had, you know, 17 and 18 went from, you know, best offense in the history of college football to maybe the next best offense in the history of college football. I know LSU 19 and Alabama 20 will have their say in that too, but the problem with those Oklahoma teams is the defense couldn't hold up its end of the bargain. And now it seems like they have a defense that can hold up its end of the bargain. And this feels like a real shot for Oklahoma to win its first national title since 2000.
For me, playing great defense all starts with having a badass defensive line. The best defenses I played with, the best defenses I played against, all had elite defensive line play. And the argument can be made going into this season, and I know Clemson and Georgia and Ohio State probably would want to have something to say about it, but the argument can be made that Oklahoma's got the best defensive line in all of college football.
Which is something that you never would have thought over the last 10 years, since Jerome McCoy left.
Right. To think of where this team was defensively just 3 years ago to where it is now, I mean, it's a true testament to what Alex Grinch and his staff on that side of the ball have done. They've created just an incredible sense of competition on that side of the ball, Andy. And one thing that's interesting about it, and Teddy Lehman and I have talked about this a lot on our podcast.
On your podcast, The Oklahoma Breakdown.
Which you have been a guest.
Yes.
You've been a guest a couple of times, actually. And it's interesting because the traditional model, right, of college football, pro football, whatever, is you have your ones and you have your twos, mm-hmm. right? And your twos really only play if something goes wrong. That's not how Alex Grinch and his staff operate. I mean, if you are a two or even a three at all positions, like, you are expected to play significant snaps in the game. Their whole philosophy is stay fresh, stay fast. And I think that has really, really worked in their favor, man. You've got guys up and down this roster on the defensive side of the ball that are totally invested because they know they're going to get to play, man. And you know, as well as I do as a former player, when you know you're going to get to play, you just naturally prepare different. You just do. So it's really interesting and it's really impressive to see what they're doing on the defensive side of things.
Well, and it's interesting because Alex Grinch, he worked with Mike Leach at Washington State. And let's look at this practically. Because you gave me a stat when we were talking earlier this week that blew my mind. You said you were talking to somebody at OU and that they said they had 14 D linemen across that front four that they are comfortable playing in games right now. I'm not sure there are any, maybe LSU might say that, but I'm not sure anybody else in the country would say that.
That, and it goes back to all of these guys feeling like they are significant contributors and that if they do put good stuff on film and practice, that they will get reps in games. And that is what Grinch has shown the last couple of years. He's not scared to play six or seven different defensive tackles in a game. That's what they're going to do this season. You look across the board. Yes, they do have players that have first, second round potential. When you look at Nick Benito, you look at Perrion Winfrey. But the difference is now for Oklahoma,
You roll Jalen Redmond in.
You roll Jalen Redmond. You roll Jordan Kelly. I mean, you roll Corey Roberson. You roll Ellison. Like, they have guys that they feel maybe they're not as good as Perrion Winfrey or Nick Benito, but the drop-off is not significant. And that's something Oklahoma hasn't had, right? And yeah. Andy, you know it. A season's long, man. Yeah. And when you get to the college football playoff, you're beat up. You got to have depth, and Oklahoma, especially on the defensive front in particular, they have more depth right now than we have seen in I don't know how long. Maybe since that 08 team that played in the national championship.
Think about the kind of offenses you have to beat to win the national title. It's not, I mean, Oklahoma's one of those offenses, but Alabama does that too now. Alabama runs a ton of plays. Ohio State runs a ton of plays. Clemson runs a ton of plays. You know, you have to have those guys fresh. Think about it from an offensive lineman's perspective. You know, you block. Maybe you got to run downfield every once in a while on a big play. But you're not sprinting the entire time. If you're playing D-line, you're a 300-pound guy, if you're an interior lineman, sprinting the entire play. You're not going to make it if you've got to run nine of those in a row. Somebody's got to be able to come in.
And that's the difference now for Oklahoma defensively. And it's not just at the defensive line. You look at their inside linebacker position. There's two spots. They're probably going to play five or six guys.
Wow.
Like that's just how they feel about the not only the talent, but the depth they have at these positions. You know, I talked to Roy Manning, the corners coach. He's got two corner spots. He said he feels really, really good about playing six corners. Six. So the sense of competition has really ramped up, right? And you can see it when you go out and you watch this team practice. You can see it and feel it on the sideline during games. I do the sideline for the OU radio call, and just the sense of competition, it is constant. And that's why I think what Alex Grinch has done on the defensive side of things, and we'll see what the defense looks like this year, right? They got to live up to this hype that they're getting in the preseason. But man, it changed quickly on the defensive side in Norman.
But the thing is, you don't have to be what our old definition of dominant on defense.
That doesn't exist anymore in my mind.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. What Bob Stoops came to Oklahoma thinking was dominance on defense does not exist in the game of football. I mean, Nick Saban said it last year. He's like, you need to have a defense that can produce negative plays and produce quick changes. You against some of these offenses, you will not stop them. Like for Alabama last year, they were not going to stop Florida from scoring. They just needed to make a couple, you know, quick changes or big negative plays or make a stop every once in a while to keep their offense scoring. But that's, you know, that's the difference with Oklahoma, though, because they could not stop anyone 3 years ago. You go back to the Rose Bowl against Georgia. Georgia's getting 10 yards every time they run the ball. And you knew that eventually it was going to break down. But now, if they get a couple stops, it may be over, even if they're playing somebody really good.
And that's why it's so weird to say it out loud, but heading into this season, I feel better about OU's defense than I do their offense. And I know that's crazy to say.
Crazy.
With what Lincoln Riley has done since he's been in Norman, first as the coordinator and now as the head coach, like I know they're going to be really good offensively, right? They got arguably the best mind in all of college football on offense calling plays for him. But they do have some question marks offensively, right? We are all expecting Spencer Rattler to be that Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray type player this season. And he showed flashes of being a special player last year. And from everything I've been told, it sounds like he has taken not a step, but a leap, not only with his play, but with his leadership as well. So I feel good about what we're going to see from Rattler, but there are some unknowns, most notably the offensive line. Now, I have more faith in Bill Beanbow than I may have in anyone other than people in my family. Like I truly believe in that man. And I think he's the best at what he does. I think he will get those guys right. They feel good about seven or so guys are starting caliber and then two to three guys, high level backups. So they like the talent. They just got to find the right combination. You know how challenging that can be, Andy, as a former lineman. It just takes some time. It takes the reps, but you look at the skill positions, I think they're a little thin at running back. And I'm not sure, and I don't know if you have to have a star at wide receiver, but I'm not sure they have that C.D. Lamb. Right,
there's not a C.D. Lamb, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. And maybe Marvin Mims turns into that guy, right? They're going to move him around some more this season. Lincoln's going to dial up some plays for him. Maybe Jaden Hazelwood finally becomes what he was supposed to be coming out of high school, right? As the top wide receiver in the country. But we just haven't seen it. I mean, Marvin Mims had a really good freshman year last year, but he had like 670 something yards receiving. It's not like he was a 1,500-yard wide receiver.
Right. This is Oklahoma. A lot of schools would be like, oh, 6'7". That's awesome. But no, in Oklahoma, you've got to crack 1,000 to be having a good year as a receiver.
We'll be right back after these words.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
I'm curious, what happened with Spencer Rattler after he got pulled against Texas? Because it felt like he was a different player after that.
Yeah, that we call that the Texas timeout. And I will say this, I was extremely impressed with how Spencer responded to that situation. I thought he handled it very maturely and clearly played really good football after that happened. And, you know, it's embarrassing for that to happen, especially in that game when everyone's watching. Like, the way that he handled it was tremendous. But I think really the difference was he was just more decisive after that. I don't know if that's the best way to explain it, but he realized that he needed to be more efficient and process things quickly and trust what he sees.
Yeah.
And I think that is something we saw build in the back half of the season for Oklahoma, where you look at his timing in the pocket, his timing in the passing game. And remember, last season was crazy, right? He didn't get spring ball. He didn't get to throw in the summer with his wide receivers. I mean, it was his first year starting. Well, so it's not like
this is what I keep telling people about the difference between him and the other Oklahoma quarterbacks during this run. Baker Mayfield had started at Texas Tech and sat a year. Kyler Murray had started games at Texas A&M and then sat a year and then played as a backup for a year. Jalen Hurts had started 2 years at Alabama and then been a backup at Alabama for a year. They all had extensive experience before they became Oklahoma starter.
And I think what happened to Rattler is something that a lot of people can relate to, maybe not football-wise, but life-wise, where you have that moment where something happens and you're just like, oh, wow, okay, I need to approach things differently. Like, I have to be better. And Rattler had that moment, and credit to Lincoln for doing what he did and kind of anticipating that Spencer would respond to that positively. By kind of knowing his mental makeup, it could have snowballed the wrong direction, but it didn't. And that's one of those things when you realize, like, hey, these coaches know their players better than anyone other than their families, right? How they'll respond to situations like that. And I just think Rattler showed a lot of maturity. And now you can just see the way he carries himself. He gained confidence after that. And I'm a firm believer that confidence, other than just pure athleticism and strength, it's like the most important thing in football.
It's the best drug in the world.
Oh, I'm with you. So
it's the reason I can take a spoonful of mayonnaise and just say, all right, I'm going
to
do this.
Oh, please don't. Please don't. I listen to that.
I know that's your favorite segment.
And I watched the video. Please don't do that again. Please.
Well, we should probably announce this. I mentioned this to you when we were doing radio on Sirius XM the other day, but I think Ari and I have come up with some terms for the UCLA LSU bet. And I think the loser is going to have to take the Will Levis challenge. For those who don't know, Will Levis is Kentucky's new starting quarterback. There's a video of him that went viral earlier this year of him eating a banana. And it is a brown, very overripe banana. But what is spectacular and amazing and disgusting about this video is that Will Levis eats it peel and all and flinches not even once. So Ari is terrified. So he needs UCLA to lose by fewer than 15 or win outright. I've given him lots of points. I'm not that scared, Gabe. I think I can handle this one. I really do. Like, mayonnaise just does that to me. I'm pretty sure I can attack that banana just like Will Levis did.
Just absolutely no faith, man. Look at you. What did you, say 15?
15. I have no faith in UCLA. None. I think LSU's having a big year. And it's funny because
no
I actually
faith
think
in
this,
DTR, man. My goodness.
I like DTR. I also think this will be Chip Kelly's best UCLA team.
I completely agree with that.
I happen to think UCLA will be or that LSU will be very, very good this year.
I mean, how bad can you be when you have that much talent? And I know they had a lot of things going on last year. A lot going on last year, but they won the national title 2 years ago. They just have an unbelievable amount of talent in Baton Rouge. I will say this though. I may like your side of that bet. Now I would never make it because that's a lot of points. I will say this. The more I listen to you and Ari do this podcast together, the more I realize that Ari and I have a lot in common. Like a lot.
Okay. All right. Do tell.
Well, I don't gamble as much as him, although I do like to wet the beak every once in a while. But I have an eight week old son.
Oh yeah.
So
Ari's headed your way very soon.
He's preparing for the dad life. I feel like I could give him a lot of advice. The do's, the don'ts, what you need, what you really don't need. And then one thing we share in common, man, I'm just not handy. If it takes more than a hammer or screwdriver, if a leveler is involved and I have to make more than three or four drill holes in anything, I got a guy for that.
You played center.
I know,
could go to Home Depot, buy lumber and build a house from scratch.
But the thing for me is like, I have accepted it. I know my limits, right? And I know there's some people that they want to watch the YouTube video. They want to learn how to do it. They want to be able to do it themselves. I am a person that looks at situations and goes, okay, how pissed off will I get if I have to do this myself? And can I do it efficiently to where me doing it is a better option than me just having someone that I know is going to do
money.
It efficiently? And a lot of situations arise where I go, I ain't got that. That's not in the wheelhouse. And you just pay someone to do it. So every time I hear you and Ari argue about mowing the lawn or cleaning your house or whatever, I'm usually team Ari on those conversations.
Well, that makes me feel worse. We're talking to a very smart man here in Gabe Eichert. He did get admitted into medical school. So not many of us can say that.
I was once the academic All-American of the year, but now I just do radio and TV. So my parents, I like to think my parents are proud of me, but my brothers both have like really fancy jobs and like one's got an MBA, the other one's got a JD from Northwestern and I do sports TV and radio. I used to be the cool son, right? Because I was playing in the NFL and that was cool. And now I'm like, oh yeah, he does some TVs, does some radio and a podcast. Yeah. And about once a month, my mom goes, you know, you can still go to law school, right? You can still. So it's, I've chosen what I've chosen. It works for me.
That's it. I've got that too. I went back to my 10-year high school reunion. This was a long time ago, more than 10 years ago, and realized just how competitive academically my high school was. Because it was like doctor, doctor, lawyer, lawyer, lawyer. And here's me, sports writer for the Tampa Tribune. And I'm just like, ooh. I'm looking at my wife like, you sure you picked right? I'm not sure if you did.
Yeah, I went to a private high school in Oklahoma City called Bish McGinnis Catholic High School. I think my graduating class was 144. There's a lot of doctors, a lot of lawyers. I'm pretty sure I'm the only one doing sports radio and television. I'm pretty sure. I don't know
You're the only one going, hey, guys, have you checked out my new podcast?
Make sure. Hey, download, like, subscribe. Thanks.
And they're like, you mean like Joe Rogan has a podcast? I'm like, not exactly.
Kind of on a smaller scale than our man Joe, but.
But that's okay because you get to do things like call games for Oklahoma. And oh, by the way, the Sooners open the season at Tulane. Brilliant scheduling by Oklahoma AD Joe Castiglione, just for the food. And I would not put it past Joe to schedule a game just for the places you can eat when you go.
There's a lot of OU fans that are very excited for that trip. I am very excited. I spent some time in New Orleans with the Saints, so I'm excited to see a couple of those guys I played with, and also to enjoy some of the dining establishments. But one thing I'm not excited about, like, it's at Yulman Stadium. It's actually at Tulane. It's not at the Superdome. Yeah. It's an 11 a.m. kickoff, which means
we know how much you like 11 a.m. kickoffs at Oklahoma.
Yeah, which I actually love them as part of the radio team. Hey, in, out, get home.
Oh, you're done. Absolutely.
I know the fans hate it, but if you're working the game, it's awesome. But my biggest concern is how many, because I'll be working the sideline for that game. Mm-hmm. It's going to be early September in New Orleans. That second half, it's going to be about,
sticky,
you know,
a little steamy.
2 o'clock. I don't know if it's going to be a 2-shirt day, a 3-shirt day. I don't know whether or not to bring an extra pair of pants. I mean, it's
Definitely bring the butt sweat, the swamp ass will be so strong. You will need at least one extra pair of pants. I mean, you got to go something, you know, like the Lululemon slacks that are pretty thin and breathable, but you're still going to sweat through those.
Yeah, I'll be in some Lululemon ABCs or some of those Roan commuter pants, and I'm worried about it.
Gabe does his shopping on Instagram when those ads pop up. It's like, oh, there we go.
It's one of those things where, you know, you're starting to do your prep for week one. You're starting to look into, you know, what Tulane does well, and then you just can't stop thinking about how humid it's going to be because there's just no way to prepare for it. There's no way to prepare for that type of humidity.
No. And people who've never lived in it, who didn't grow up with it, don't understand. You know, I just assume that I will go through multiple shirts during a day in August or September. It's just how it goes. I mean, I've lived in a literal swamp my entire life. And yeah, you just got to be prepared. As a man of larger carriage, you have to be prepared for these sort of things.
See, I've lost a lot of weight, you know, similar to you. You look great, by the way, man. Good job. I've lost, 65-ish pounds since I was playing. And I always thought that once I lost the weight, like, I would sweat less. I may sweat more now. Like, it's like, and once the faucet's on, it's a bloodbath.
I've learned to just let it go. That's one thing living in Florida as long as I have will teach you. Because I used to get real self-conscious about, do I have armpit sweat going, or are there sweat stains on my shirt? Now I'm just like, forget it. I live in Florida. I'm going to be soaked for 6 months out of the year. Just get over it. Everybody else is just as hot as me. So you just deal with it.
Well, when I'm sweating through my shirt and my pants in that opener at Tulane, I'm going to text you. I'm just going to send you a picture and say, it's happening. It's happening.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I worked out. I ran this morning, and because of some work stuff, couldn't get out to run until about 10 o'clock in the morning. It was already 86 degrees with 1,000,000% humidity. Shirt and shorts, like I had swam in the pool.
That... I can't believe you run. That's so impressive. Like, I have a firm and it is firm, a firm feet on the ground policy. Like no jumping.
Oh, you're like, no, you're running. Like a, are you like a race walker? You got a shimmy like that?
I walk the dogs and it's at a decent pace. It's at a decent pace, but we're talking swimming and Peloton, maybe some elliptical, but it's all about longevity at this point with these joints, man. I mean, put some mileage on them. In my,
I was gonna say, yours took a little bigger pounding than mine did. So you do whatever you got to do to stay upright. That's all that matters.
We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
We do need to look into the future, though, because you have a very, very important wager with your co-host Holly Rowe on SiriusXM Big 12 Radio. She has bet you $1,000 that Oklahoma will not win an SEC title in its first 10 years in the league. And I'm on your side on this. I think you're going to win this bet. I think you're cashing this bet. But how quickly did you accept those terms?
I want to make it clear, this bet was entirely her idea.
Right? Of course.
It was entirely her idea. And I love Holly, but she set no odds. Like there's no juice at all. She was just like, straight up, they win one or they don't. 10 years, $1,000. And I was like, yeah, deal. That's an awesome bet for me. It's essentially me betting $100 every year that OU will win the SEC. Like that's how I viewed it. And I will say this. I know that OU and Texas going to the SEC has made a ton of headlines, but OU is recruiting at a much higher level, right? When you look at the body types, especially on the defensive side of the ball, the people that Alex Grinch and that staff are bringing in, like they look like SEC players. And that's where it's headed on the defensive side of things. And Lincoln Riley is going to continue to bring in studs that want to play in that offensive system. Like there's no doubt. Where it gets tricky for me is, okay, how many years will it take for OU to get in that league? Because I think the longer it takes, now I'm not sure it'll be 2025, but the longer it takes, the more recruiting classes Lincoln Riley can now eliminate his number one disadvantage in recruiting. His number one disadvantage in recruiting was a kid saying, hey coach, I want to play in the SEC. He couldn't say anything to a kid that said that. Now he can. Now he can say, okay, come to Oklahoma. You'll play in the SEC. You'll play in the best league. And we'll get you on the field as early as possible. So I think that Oklahoma, there's this notion for some people that Oklahoma is going to go to the SEC and really struggle off the bat. I think they're going to compete immediately.
Oklahoma has never struggled ever. Well, that's not true. Okay, the John Blake era,
the beginning of my times. OU fandom was the mid and late 90s. Andy.
But there have been very few times. Yeah. Now Ohio State has never struggled ever. Oklahoma has only a few limited years where it has. It's Alabama's had more down years than Oklahoma's had. if we're going grand scheme of things. So I don't believe for a second that Oklahoma won't compete. The Texas is another story. I don't, you know, I think it's harder to win at Texas than people realize and or people are willing to accept. You listen to this show, you know how Ari feels about their ceiling and all that. I don't see it because I think it's a hard place to win. Oklahoma, conversely, I think is an easy place to win because people pull in the same direction at Oklahoma.
Yeah. Texas not being consistently good is one of the greater mysteries in all of college football. When you look at it, Tom Herman recruited well.
Right. So did Charlie Strong.
So did Charlie, like everything points to that program being not good, but elite. And they have one double digit win season since 2010. One. And it makes no sense. Like I've been to Austin, right? I never played the Longhorns there. We always played them in the Cotton Bowl. And now that I cover OU, like still going to the Cotton Bowl, but I've been to Austin for a couple bachelor parties. How do like they get good?
I get why they get good
players. Like, right, how are exactly. they not better? It makes absolutely no sense. And I know a lot of people say, well, the boosters, there's too many people involved. It's like, hey guys, the boosters aren't in between the white lines on game day. Like,
right.
It doesn't make sense. And I think, I do think Sark is a really good hire. And I've had the chance to interview him a couple of times. And every time I interview him, I come away as an OU guy going, dang it. That guy's awesome. Like, dang it. So I do think he can fix the developmental problem they've had because that's been the problem.
I think that's the problem. They don't make draft picks. That's it. They get highly ranked recruits, higher ranked than Oklahoma over the last 10 years, but they don't turn them into draft picks like Oklahoma does.
They have all of the best facilities. They've got a big 100,000 seat stadium. It's in an awesome city. They just don't win. They don't win the way they're supposed to win. It truly is one of the more confusing things in all of college football.
I tell you what, let's take this argument to the SEC. You can actually paint an SEC logo on the 50-yard line at the Cotton Bowl for that first meeting.
I'm sure Greg Sankey will try to work that in somehow, right?
Oh, I guarantee. Well,
normally it's just like it's a piece of cotton in the middle, so I don't
it'll
know.
At least be on the 35.
It is weird that OU Texas is now going to be an SEC game. That is going to take. It's going to take a while to get used to, man.
Yeah. Well, that's it, and that's what I was wondering. I mean, you grew up your whole life with. For you, Oklahoma in the Big 12 is the norm. You were alive when Oklahoma was in the Big 8, but probably not real sentient at that point. But I'm sure your parents remember Oklahoma in the Big 8. And how strange is it going to be to see them like playing Alabama in a conference game or LSU in a conference game?
I had a really mixed reaction when the announcement, you know, when the news kind of started trickling out. And all that smoke was coming out about OU and Texas going to the SEC because I'm a Big 12 guy, right? I grew up watching the Big 12, played in the Big 12. I host Big 12 Today on Big 12 Radio.
Yes.
And I've defended the Big 12 Conference for years and years and years against its critics. And I don't love the fact that the eight remaining teams in the Big 12 feel like they are now left out in the cold, right? The alliance that is going on allegedly between the Big 10.
They're not in the alliance. They're you know, kind of marginalized.
And I look at a program like Oklahoma State, not just football, because Gundy's been really, really consistent there. They've won a lot of games. They've been the second most winning program when you look at Big 12 football over the last decade. Like, they've been good. They belong in the Power Five or whatever the new version of the Power Five is going to be. Like, there's no doubt in my mind Oklahoma State belongs in that league or whatever we're going to call it. Mm-hmm. And the possibility that they may be left on the outside, like, even though I was raised to hate Oklahoma State, like, that does bother me. And I'm an Oklahoman. I live here. Like, I want what's best for the state of Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State deserves it over a bunch of other programs. Like, you look at the Alliance, right? Would I rather watch Ohio State play Arizona or play Oklahoma State? The answer is Oklahoma State for me. Now, maybe if you're an Arizona fan, you feel differently, but
yeah, most people would rather see that than Ohio State Wake Forest or Ohio State, you know, Syracuse or Pittsburgh, or
that's my only, you know, I'm a big pros and cons guy, and OU to the SEC, like that was essentially the only con for me was, okay, what's it mean for the remaining eight in the conference? Clearly the pros are fantastic. It's going to be so much fun for the coaches, players, fans. The level of competition is getting ramped up. There's no doubt about it. It is well documented what this is going to mean for revenue for the University of Oklahoma. And those SEC schools that travel incredibly well, that are going to bring fans and, you know, pump a ton of money into the economy there in Norman and to the state of Oklahoma, like, that's extremely valuable. Like, I recognize what a smart business move this is for the University of Oklahoma. And I think that it is going to be really, really fun when it comes to what we see on the field. I think it's going to be extremely competitive. Is OU going to lose some more games? Yes. Are they going to win six conference titles in a row in the SEC? Absolutely not. But it's going to be a whole lot of fun. And we kind of all, and you were one of the people that has been saying this stuff for years, Andy, like how college football was kind of headed towards this type of model. And I just want to give you credit, man. You were right.
I don't know if I want to be right. I don't like the Super League aspect of it because it does, like you were talking about with Oklahoma State, does take some of the fun out of it. But I will say, I'm very excited to present you with all my detailed research on all of the eateries in the SEC. I have spent years working on this list.
So that's so funny that you say that, because when it was coming out, my wife was like, what do you think? And we were talking about, you know, the benefits for OU and how I kind of felt bad for the teams that'd be left behind. And then she was like, but what about the road games? And I just turned to her and I go, oh, I've got a food guy. And she looked at me like, what are you talking about? I was like, his name's Andy Staples. You know, we do radio together. Like, his whole thing is he goes places, and he used to do it for Sports Illustrated. Like, the whole thing, he goes places and he eats. And so we're going to have to try all of the recommendations. That was something that was mentioned very early in the process.
Well, I'm glad I got into your thought process about Oklahoma to the SEC. That's good. I have a long list. I have to send it to you in chunks. It's hard to digest all at once. It's, you know, it can be a little bit overwhelming, but I'm very excited to share that with you. Gabe Eichard, I know you got to work. You got a radio broadcast coming up. You can listen to Gabe on SiriusXM Big 12 Radio, Big 12 Today. You can also listen to the Oklahoma Breakdown, which with Gabe and Teddy Lehman, and wherever you find podcasts. And Gabe, I'm telling you, I cannot wait to share some free queso with you sometime very soon.
I look forward to it, my friend. And I just want to say, I don't think my first ass experience could have gone any better. What a time.
Please don't clip that clip.
What did I say?
That's all I'm asking the producers. Please don't clip that. Don't make that the promo. Don't make that the promo. But yes, you will be invited back. There will be a second ass experience for you, Gabe Eichard.
Thanks, Andy.